You turn in your Bibles today to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, as you know, if you've been here the last several weeks, we've been spending some time in Mark. We've looked at a number of things there. We've looked at the rich young ruler. We've looked at serving others last week. And this week, we find ourselves in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, once again. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52, in a sermon entitled, Blind Man. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which gives us lessons for life, a path when it's hard to find our way. And so, Lord, you gave us this scripture. You provided us with this passage. Help us, Lord, to learn and listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a man named Charlie Boswell, and he was blinded in World War II while he was rescuing a buddy from a burning tank. And he'd always been a great athlete, and so after the war, he took up golf. Blind man takes up golf. And he was really amazingly, astoundingly good at golf. In short, Charlie Boswell won the National Blind Golf Championship 16 times. I bet you didn't even know there was a blind golf championship. And here you go. For those of you who play golf, he shot a score of 81 once. 81. Now, this is, for those of you who don't know golf, this is good. Really good. In 1958, Charlie went to Fort Worth, Texas, to receive the coveted Ben Hogan Award in honor of one of the greatest professional golfers in history. And Mr. Hogan agreed to play a round of golf with Charlie. Charlie said, "Would you like to play for money?" Hogan said, "That wouldn't be fair." Charlie said, "Come on, Mr. Hogan, are you afraid to play a blind golfer?" Hogan was pretty competitive as well, and so he said, okay, I'll play for money. How much?" Boswell said, $1,000 a hole. Hogan said, "That's a lot of money. How many strokes do you want me to give you?" In golf, you can actually give someone strokes because you're better than them. It's a handicap, they call it, which I don't like that word, but here we go. "How many strokes do you want to give me?" And Boswell said, "No strokes. I'll play you heads up," which is, we're both going to play on the... I wish Al was here. He'd really be relating to this.
He's playing golf.
He's playing golf. There you go. Hogan said, "Charlie, I can't do it. What would people think of me taking advantage of a blind man?" And Boswell smiled and said, "Don't worry, Mr. Hogan. Our tea time is tonight at midnight." Charlie Boswell was a remarkable man. He did not let his disability deter him from a fulfilling life. So today we want to talk about another remarkable man who was also blind. And Mark calls him Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. The story takes place, as the Bible says, just outside of Jericho. And, you know, many of us, when we think of Jericho, I remember my Sunday school days, and Joshua and Jericho is what comes to mind. Joshua and Jericho. Battle of Jericho. Wonderful story, but it's no more thrilling than the story here in Jericho of Bartimaeus. Now, it is absolutely amazing. Jesus and his disciples are on a trip. All the things that we've talked about over the course of the last several weeks are things that happened to Jesus on his way. In other words, he didn't just go and say, okay, I'm here and I'm going to get there. He had the Heavenly Father TripAdvisor service that actually had him engaged in ministry along the way. I think some of us ought to have that. We think about all the special places we can visit and our GPSs and phones. Say, who wouldn't you like this? And this gets 5 stars and all this other. Maybe we ought to have a Holy Spirit advisor that says, hey, this nursing home, if you go in here, the blessing that you're going to give, you will not believe what's going to happen to you on your way. On your way, you're going to drive right by. Trip invite. Here's part of your journey, right here. So, people are in Jericho. Jesus is on the way for the Passover. So this is a big Jewish feast. And so there are lots and lots of people. So they're on a trip. It is a very crowded trip as they're walking. So now we're imagining Jesus and his disciples are on the way. And they're going on the way in a really big mob of people. Filled with people on the way to Jerusalem. Now, this is an important part of the story of Bartimaeus. And this was also good times for Bartimaeus, because you see, he was blind, and these were primitive times back then. Through no fault of his own, Bartimaeus was a beggar. The only way he got money is people are going alongside the road, and they put some money in, and so this means survival or not. And crowded streets, more people, means that he might get more than he usually would. Maybe a generous day's wages for his work as a beggar. There weren't any government programs to aid a blind person in Bartimaeus' day. Unless you had a family to look after you, life would be cruel. By the way, this brings me back to this golf word. Do you know where the word handicapped comes from? Until relatively recent years, there were no programs to help the disabled. Their only possible source of income was to stand beside the road with their cap in their hand, begging. Thus, the word handicap. Handicap is a demeaning word that we need to eliminate from our vocabulary. There are many people in our society who have severe disabilities, who are nevertheless quite productive. We discovered, we discover that all the time. If Bartimaeus were alive today, I believe that he would be one of those productive people. But in the day in which he lived, opportunities for work for a blind man other than begging were non-existent. This is your choice. This is the one job you can have. Like it or not, take it. No questions. On the day our story takes place, the streets are clogged with people. Gives Bartimaeus the opportunity to receive more than the usual paltry amounts that he normally received in alms. Little did he realize that today would not be a normal day. This is one of the reasons, dear friends, that no matter what is going on in your life or mine, we must, like Gertha Eubanks, get up from wherever we are, as she always did,
go to her front door, look out and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. If you're not starting your day that way, you're going to miss something. You're going to miss something because this is the day the Lord has made. So, this particular day was not going to be a normal day because an itinerant teacher was passing the place where Bartimaeus was begging. His name was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And people had heard about Jesus. His reputation had spread to Jericho because Mark tells us that as soon as Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to shout. When he heard that it was Jesus, son of Nazareth, verse 47, he began to shout. He didn't say, Jesus, Jesus. He was shouting, Jesus! As loud as he could. This was another gift that God had given him. He may not have been blind. He may not have had sight. But God had given him a voice that would be utilized to result in his blessing and healing. In other words, he may not have really realized, although here we find him. He shouts. He shouts. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He knows enough about Jesus. Not just to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He says, Jesus, son of David. Somehow he knows that Jesus is from the house and lineage of David and that Jesus could help him. Maybe Bartimaeus was already one of those who believed that Jesus was Messiah. But his shouting made people uncomfortable. You know, beggars should be seen and not heard. They really didn't want him to make a scene. You want your money? Keep your mouth shut. Come on. Jesus is an important person. Why are you bothering him? He's got a lot of things to do. The disciples are around him. There's a mob of people. Who do you think you are, Bartimaeus? You're just a blind man. They rebuked Bartimaeus. They told him to be quiet. They told him to shut up. And yet, he didn't listen. They told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. I think he shouted even louder. He was going to make sure that if nothing else happened that day, Jesus would hear his cry. Jesus would hear his plea. Jesus would know he existed. Some of you make those same cries. You shout out to God, Jesus! He hears. He listens. He cares. But then something absolutely miraculous, absolutely dramatic, absolutely unbelievable. It was better than the 1.6 billion that somebody won in South Carolina. I mean, really. This was amazing. Jesus, although the Dodgers, Lou. I'm sorry. Ooh. Yeah, we need a miracle. So, Bartimaeus did something unusual, though, that I want you to note, because we miss this. We miss this. Because Jesus says in verse 49, call him. And so they call to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Now, here's a verse you miss. The next verse is a critical verse. Throwing his cloak aside, That's the key part of the verse.
Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now,
Bartimaeus is blind. Number one. Throwing his cloak aside means that he may very well not be able to find it because he is going from here to there. There's a mob of people. Somebody might get his cloak. Yet he throws it aside.
May have been the only thing he owned. He depended on that cloak in winter to allow him to be out in the street begging. Could it be that even then, blind Bartimaeus had enough belief in Jesus that he thought perhaps he would be healed and would no longer need his cloak for begging? Or was he just so enthusiastic about Jesus calling for him that he just acted without thinking? We don't know. But here we find him before Jesus. And Jesus says to him this. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Wow. I am wishing I could be in front of the master and I could have him ask me that question, but many times I won't be in the place Bartimaeus was so that I could ask for something that I really needed, that Jesus could really say yes to. Sometimes we ask for things that we don't even realize we don't need. Well, blind Bartimaeus is very sure about he wants what he wants from Jesus. He says in verse 51, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now, this was an extraordinary request. But let me tell you this morning, Bartimaeus was not asking for anything beyond that which you and I take for granted every single day of our lives. Those of us that can see, we've got it. We're not asking for it because we don't need it. But blind Bartimaeus did. He just wanted his eyes to work properly. He wasn't asking for a cushy lifestyle. He wasn't asking for a new wardrobe. He wasn't asking for a new horse or donkey. He wasn't asking for a new place to live. He didn't have a list. He had a simple, straightforward request based on his need. All he was asking was for the opportunity to be able to see so he could find a job and enjoy the beauties of life that all of us enjoy. And Jesus knew the kind of man that Bartimaeus was, and he granted Bartimaeus' request. He said, "Go." Another key passage, another key word, go. Your faith has healed you. Now, here's the key thing. Jesus says, "Hey, go. You've wanted what you wanted. You got your sight. Think about all the things you can do now. Think about all the things you can see now. Think about all the places you can go now. Go." He not only gives him sight, he gives him the freedom to enjoy what he has not been able to enjoy all his life. But notice what blind Bartimaeus does now that he sees. Verse 52. Immediately. He didn't go and enjoy a little bit. He didn't go inside to this, that, or the other. He didn't go look to see while somebody looked. Immediately he received his sight. Immediately he followed Jesus along the road. Immediately. There's some things about Bartimaeus that jump out to me as I read this story. First is, he was disadvantaged. Many people have fallen into that category. Bartimaeus was not only disadvantaged, but because of his disability, he was made to feel rejected. Even his name is a no-mean-anything name. His name simply meant son of Timaeus. He didn't even have a name. We don't even know his given name. He was not even important enough for them to have called him by any name except, "Come here, son of Timaeus." Religious people were probably small comfort to his feelings of rejection. As you know from reading the New Testament, there were many people in that time who felt that a physical disability was a punishment from God. In their ignorance, they felt that someone surely sinned if a child was born with a condition such as blindness. How many hearts have been broken because of someone's outrageous interpretation of adversity? Probably Bartimaeus had put up with some of this. He was blind. He was a beggar. He was a social outcast. His situation was like that of a cat that was found in London. Its finders advertised to find the owners, and hear how they described the cat in their advertisement. "Found kitten with white paws and bib. Very affectionate. Answers to the name, go away." I like that. "Come here, go away." There must have been times when Bartimaeus felt like his name was go away. Most of us don't like to be approached by a beggar. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't know how to respond. We don't know what to do. We don't know whether he's a drinker on drugs. Just easier to pass him by. Bartimaeus was disadvantaged. All of us are to a certain extent. We all have shortcomings. They may not be physical. They may be emotional. Perhaps, though, one of the most dangerous disabilities is that of living a privileged life, because we never develop the mental and emotional and spiritual toughness that is required for dealing with life situations. Bartimaeus was disadvantaged, but look at something else. Bartimaeus was not defeated. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed that we are not only down, we are defeated. But not Bartimaeus. But not Bartimaeus. He's shouting, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And when he comes, he throws off his cloak. He jumps to his feet. I love that picture. I love that picture. A blind man leaping up in anticipation. Disadvantaged, but not defeated. He was not going to let people to tell him to shut up. And when he saw the opportunity for healing, he jumped at it. He wasn't like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus saying, "What must I do to be saved, Lord?" And then turned away sadly because he learned that he had to choose between his wealth and Jesus. Neither was Bartimaeus like the man beside the pool of Bethsaida, who when Jesus asked him if he really wanted to be healed, made excuses for his situation. Bartimaeus wanted to see, and he was willing to pay any price to achieve this goal. He would not be defeated. What a difference such an attitude makes in life. Thank God for the Bartimaeuses of this world who will not be denied by their circumstances. I read about the building of the famous Brooklyn Bridge, New York City. Engineering marvel. It was completed in 1883. Known for its granite towers, steel cables. Took 14 years to build the thing. 24 people died in the process of building the bridge, including its original designer. That designer was an engineer named John Roebling, and when Roebling came up with the idea of building this massive suspension bridge over New York City's East River to connect the boroughs of Manhattan and Brooklyn, everybody thought he was nuts. But John and his son Washington set out to prove that it could be done. And after a year of construction, he was killed in an unfortunate ferry accident. And this left his son, young Washington, inexperienced engineer, in charge of the bridge. But this is just one of the tragedies that befell the Roeblings. Since part of the bridge was built underwater, many workers began to suffer from decompression sickness due to the difference in pressure below the water and above it. Young Washington himself suffered from this condition to such an extent that he became paralyzed, deaf, and mute. Can you imagine what that would have been like? But this would not stop him from building that bridge. His father's death would not deter him. Being paralyzed would not stop him. Being deaf would not halt him. Being mute would not deter him. Can you imagine? He was going to build his father's bridge. He was able to move just one finger. That's all he had. That's all he had. For those of us going through tough times, those of us that are wishing that we had more or something we don't have, one finger is what he had. He could tap on his wife's arm and communicate with her in that way. And he continued to direct the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge from his bed, giving instructions to his wife, who then passed them along to the crew building the bridge. He did it for the next 11 years. When it was completed and open for use, what a success. Over 100 years later, it carries 150,000 people a day safely to their destinations, and almost nobody knows the story. You have to admire any person who, through faith and determination, refuses to be defeated. Blind Bartimaeus was one of those people. Bartimaeus was disadvantaged, but he refused to be defeated, and he was rewarded for his determination. What do you want me to do with you, Jesus asked. Master, I want to see. Go, your faith has made you well. What a wonderful gift Christ gave him. You and I take our vision for granted. We shouldn't. The gift of sight is one of the most precious gifts that God can bestow on us. I got to tell you, I had eye surgery for most of my life growing up. I had horrendous nearsightedness and Coke glasses. So I went to the city to get surgery. And I mean, my sight was so bad that the big clock would be beside my bed and I'd have to get closer to it to be able to see. I mean, it was really not able to see the world. And thank God for glasses, because they allowed me to see when I had them on. But when I went for the surgery, I immediately, upon completing it, was able to see without my glasses. And I said, anablepo, Greek meaning, I look up, I receive my sight. It was an amazing gift that I continue to be thankful for. Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. He followed him. All his life, he'd been blind, and finally this man, Jesus, set him free. He could see. What greater gift could Jesus give him than that? You know Fanny Crosby, great gospel hymn writer, lost her sight as a child. But in many ways, she could see much more, so much more than others. Many feel that it was the story of blind Bartimaeus that inspired her to write this beloved hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. It's a wonderful hymn, but we need to know, dear friends, today that Christ will not pass us by if we are truly seeking him. He sees our need. He sees your need. He sees my need, whatever that need may be. Bartimaeus was disadvantaged, but he was not defeated. He came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And he became a Christ follower. May we all see what Bartimaeus saw. That Jesus is the giver of every good thing in life. I hope we are as wise as Bartimaeus. May we too follow Jesus all the days of our lives as well. Let's pray.